everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. Now, 70 is the new 50, and seniors are today's most powerful leaders and activists. And right now, the grit and strength of seniors is needed more than ever. My guest today is PJ Kittredge. She is a retired consultant to the healthcare industry, and she began her career as a public school teacher and curriculum developer. With Dr. Thelma Reese, she is the co-author of the new book called How Seniors Are Saving the World, Retirement Activism to the Rescue. Now, for more information about BJ or her new book, go to senioractivism.com. So welcome to the program, BJ. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
It is. And I cannot wait to talk to you about your book. So first, I love the title of your new book, How Seniors Are Saving the World. So tell us, BJ, what motivated you to write the book and how did you come up with that title?
Well, it was a two-stage process. My partner has written two previous books, and the person that she wrote the book with, unfortunately, died, and she was looking for a new partner. But the idea for the book came from her husband, who saw that the first two books were very successful and that she needs always to be involved in a project. And that was how we have mutual friends. And that was how we got together, quite by accident. But, we found out we were just compatible as could be.
Oh, that's so nice. Did you enjoy writing the book?
Yes, very, very much.
Now, I know the book shares inspiring true stories of seniors working with vigor and purpose. Who are these people and how did you find them for the book?
Well, we started by thinking about our expanded circle of contacts and friends and family and who we would imagine would be someone who could either be interviewed for the book or would know people. And every time we interviewed someone, I always said, is there anybody else that you think that would be interesting in this book? And invariably, they had one or two names for me. And so we moved from through the network, from contact to contact. And all of the people who were interviewed were just delightful and amazing.
So share with us, if you can, a few of those stories or give us an example of someone that you remember had a really powerful story.
Well, there's a man who was in the North Tower of the World Trade Center on 9/11. He was born and educated in India, and he is a civil engineer. He came to New York and was involved in the planning of exit strategies for the North Tower. So he had to train people who would inspect whatever the benchmarks were. And management was very pleased with him and invited him to join the organization, which he did. During that day, it turned out that the first tower was the North Tower, and he was able, because of his knowledge and his work on the plan, he was able to escort people and rescue them on each floor as they came down.
Wow.
What I didn't know was that there were three main staircases in the building. And after he was finished with the flight of one staircase, he could feel that things were rumbling, and above him, things were collapsing. So he had to change to a second and then a third staircase in order to reach the ground. And everything was wet because the sprinklers had gone off, and they only had the occasional emergency light, which was either flickering or very dim. Each time he reached a floor, he opened up to see who was there trying to come down.
Mm-hmm.
When it was over and he was there, he wanted to go back because there were still people who needed help, and they wouldn't let him. But in the days that ensued, he decided that he would not watch the news. He would not read newspapers. He spent about 10 or 12 days contemplating what had happened and decided that he didn't want to be negative and hate people. So he didn't want to know all the things that had preceded the catastrophe. But a few years after that, he thought about how so few people in that attack had had such far-reaching negative effects. And he wondered, because he's a spiritual man too, he wondered what would happen if the population of the world, which was 7 billion people at the time of the attack, what would happen if each person did one act of kindness? How far-reaching would the goodness go? And he started an organization online called 7 Billion Acts of Goodness. And he transferred all of the negative energy into the positive. So people can go to the website, 7 Billion Acts of Goodness, and sign up, and when they have something to add to the volume of good acts, they sign in and record it, and it's an overwhelming amount of goodness.
Wow, that is a great story, BJ, and I love how he turned that experience
yes.
and all those thoughts into an organization. 7billionactsofkindness.com, is that correct?
No, 7billionactsofgoodness.com.
Goodness.com. Thank you very much. That is wonderful. Have you gone to the website? Have you seen
yes.
that people have put up their
yes.
acts of goodness?
It's amazing how I guess it's also the kind of thing that spreads through networking, and people hear about it and see it and want to be a part of it, especially in these times when things are so unsettling.
Right. And how many stories then do you share in the book? And can you give us one other example of a powerful story that you share in the book?
There are 24 published interviews, and each person is their own chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good example of the same kind of creativity is someone who lives in Massachusetts, who has been an activist all of her life, who was able to take the college activism and translate that into marvelous things. She worked with a small group of Unitarian United members, and they lobbied and lobbied and were able to get legislation passed for earlier sentences, earlier releases and shorter sentences for people with nonviolent criminal convictions. Mm-hmm. And there's a men's prison near her, and she recruited a friend. She's a gifted artist. She recruited a friend to go to this prison and present a program for the men in the prison to come to an art class. And they were going to do it for 8 weekly sessions. They celebrated the 18th anniversary this year. And not only that, but with the legislation that she helped to pass, many of the people in her class, the men in her class, will be leaving prison earlier.
That's great. That is another great story, BJ. And you share 24 examples in your book about seniors who are really saving the world. I also have to tell listeners that there are several articles on the website, senioractivism.com, where you and Dr. Thelma Reese share inspiring stories of seniors who have helped during the COVID-19 pandemic as well. And I've looked at those stories and I love that article. So I encourage listeners as well to go to that website, senioractivism.com, and the news tab and look at some of those articles. But you share so many stories, BJ, about seniors who are really doing so much. Why do you think as a society we pigeonhole seniors instead as fragile and not strong? You're showing us these examples that are dispelling the myths. But why do we do that as a society, do you think?
Well, my great-grandmother lived to a ripe old age and died when I was 19. And my memories of her were just in the kitchen or sitting in a chair. Times have changed. Our life expectation is much longer. People, especially women, have been able to get into a career with both feet at some point in their adult lives. And the energy that requires isn't quenched very easily. So there are so many opportunities, especially if you have a passion for a cause or an issue, to be able to do something. And one of the benefits that nobody planned on was that these people draw others to them by their example and by their contagious energy and the positive energy that they believe you can make a difference.
Reading the book, then people can get inspired themselves. Is that a second goal then of this book?
Yes. Each chapter, as I said, is the story of one person, or in many cases, stories, because people like this have had lots of experiences doing things that mattered. At the end of each chapter, there's a section called How to Connect, and it's a series of things that we researched, organizations, websites, books, people, who are resources for the issue that particular person has been involved in and is involved in. So once you read, if you read, some people I think will say, I've always believed in this. But if you read something that appeals to you that you hadn't considered before, you're not left saying, well, what now? Because there is this reference which puts you in touch with people and organizations that are part of a network of finding where you fit if you want to.
So I like that. So you can, as a reader of this book, read about these very powerful stories of seniors and what they're doing in the world today. But then if you're interested in your own activism, in getting involved in an organization, a community club, or whatever topic, like you said, is within that chapter, you provide resources for people to do it themselves. That's wonderful, BJ. I love that. So it's a how-to book.
We were very happy to do it.
Yeah, that's great. It took a lot of research, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
But it's a how-to book as well as the stories of these very powerful seniors. So how can we diffuse then ageism for good?
Well, first of all, we have to, I'm going to be 76 in 2 weeks. And when you get to an age where people are regarded as seniors, sometimes it's 55, sometimes it's older, I think that we have to accept the fact that we're not finished. We have to look to examples, perhaps. And one of the nice things is that instead of being retired, we refer to it as unretirement, because all of life's experiences give you a vast data bank of knowledge that you can apply to so many kinds of things. And being supportive of young people who feel the same.
And so you said that you are going to be 76 in 2 weeks. That's wonderful, BJ. What would you recommend then as someone either becoming a senior, being a senior, 90 years old? How should they do that unretirement, as you said? Or how can they? How about that can? There's no shoulds, right?
Right. I think that it takes some reflection. I'm a big list maker, so I'm always saying, well, these are things that I would like to do, and these are things that I've actually trained for that would apply to something else. So I think a personal inventory, and then exploring what the possibilities are. But most of all, the positive mindset that where I am is a great asset to the world, and the satisfaction that I will have in doing something that makes a difference is something that will be shared with a huge number of people just by virtue of the kinds of circles that we operate in. Not allowing yourself to close a door or a window is a big part of what we call seniority. We are able to examine things with a lot of input from previous experiences. And if you can maintain a positive and curious attitude, it seems to me that it serves you until your last breath.
Mm. I like that. And that's such an important message, I think, BJ, that, you know, you do matter and you can make a difference, and remaining positive that you are needed. I know in the article on your website, you talk about that seniors can return to their fields to give back. Just because they are no longer working for pay, they can contribute to the economy. They can be, you know, a force and strong on social media. They can inspire younger people and children to become global citizens and to do things in their community, that there are so many ways that seniors really can get involved. Did I name some of the possibilities? Are there any other possibilities that come to mind when you think about how seniors are giving back?
Well, I think taking the first step is the important thing. When you reach seniority, sometimes you're on your own, as I am, because my husband died. So you don't necessarily have someone that you're living with who says, go get them. But knowing what a need is or what exists for help is something that takes you out of yourself. And that's the important thing, because the people in our book have reached way beyond their field of vision in many ways. They've realized that there is a long-standing reverence for people who are considered elders. And being able to share is worth pursuing. And once you've identified what you'd like to do, and, you know, sometimes people think that they would like to do something in X, and when they get into it, they realize there's a branch called Y that's even more intriguing for them. So being open and open-minded is the real lesson. And It gives you a reason to get up in the morning and a reason to count your blessings at night.
Mm-hmm. And we know studies show as well, BJ, that connecting with others and having relationships with others is so important to both psychological and physical health. So being open-minded, taking that first step, identifying what you want to do or that need, and then trying it will make a difference to physical and psychological health. So I think that's very important. So if listeners, you're out there, and you don't know how or what your first step may be, their book written by BJ and Dr. Thelma Reese will allow you to see what other seniors are doing and then allow you to maybe do the same. Am I correct, BJ?
Yes, absolutely. That is the goal. My dream is that there will be seniors who become more active in the causes they believe in, and that their children and grandchildren will be motivated to find out more about it or to admire the fact that at a senior age, you're able to make a difference and really make things happen. And someday, maybe there will be that exchange where a younger person is leading and a senior person is supplying all kinds of support and input.
Absolutely. And if you are a senior listening, you can also diffuse ageism then by influencing younger people, as well as they're going to observe you being strong and making a difference. And that's what will change the world and views of seniors as fragile and not strong. So BJ, if there's one message, because we only have a few minutes left, 2 minutes, you would like listeners to take away from this program, what might it be?
I think that it's a two-sided coin. Putting yourself in a position to learn and be exposed will bring you the kind of satisfaction that you've had in many other things in your life. But you have to take the first step. Opportunity doesn't knock twice, but being open is a definite plan to investigating things that you can help with and that you can make work with. And there is nothing like the challenge of an example, mm-hmm. especially if there are people who have an old-fashioned view of senior life and senior energy and senior contributions.
That's a great message, BJ. Thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure too.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about BJ Kidridge or her new book called How Seniors Are Saving the World, Retirement Activism to the Rescue, please go to senioractivism.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.